interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. And it's a 10-10. That's right, October 10 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. Back out at the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love at the place to be every single Thursday. And for the next 2 hours, I'll be joined by the famous Clint D from inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're getting a lot closer to LSU, Florida. We've got Saints Jags with the Saints an underdog on the road, and we've got a huge week in prep football locally. We'll touch all of those bases. Speaking of baseball punts, we'll get to the Astros do-or-die game tonight in H-Town, but you know I have to lead off with the Cajuns falling 17-7 at home to App State. You want to get in on the subject? I got time for you. 706-0111, Standard Sports Talk Radio, is for me to come on in an opportunity in a moment like this, trash the offense, the play calling, the field goal unit, and I could do that. But no, I think I'll go a different direction. Now, let's be realer than that with each other, you and I. Here are three things I walked away from Cajun Field thinking and feeling. Good and bad, but again, real. First, the fact that the Cajuns' defense even enabled UL to compete in a low-scoring game like that with the offense sputtering like that is something that would have never been possible even last year. And so, yes, I will actually lead with kudos. Ron Roberts' group, I mean Moncrief, Joe Dillon, Chauncey Manack in spots, this defense has taken a huge stride forward. And that's been the biggest complaint with Raging Cajuns football on the field, with X's and O's. There are some culture things off the field, in the locker room, that we could all point to in the latter years of the Mark Hudspeth era. But on the field, it's been defense. And it's been offensive how bad they are. Last night, they weren't. Last night, they kept this team in a ball game in close quarters. Yeah, they also allowed one of the longest, biggest soul-sucking drives that you'll ever see. What was it? 18 plays, 97 yards, and 11-plus minutes that basically put a lid on that ball game. Yeah, that did happen. Yeah, they got worn out. But for me, again, the fact that the defense enabled them to do this, that's an eye-opener. It was the biggest question mark the last few years and in this offseason. I think they've answered the call there. The second thing that I take away, App State is the class of the Sun Belt Conference, probably a top 3 to 4 group of five team overall. We can all start to point toward Houston, UCF, hey, in a season like this, Tulane, Boise State. But App State deserves their propers. Look, number 24, number 48, defensively for that team, those are Power 5 players. There's no other way to put it. Those are grown men. They look like they were playing on a different level than a lot of the Cajuns team. In fact, it took about 2 drives. I was texting Ruffin Roderick about this during the game. He was field level, and, you know, I was with the plebes. But we agreed on the same thing. Until they start running away from number 24, the strong side safety slash outside linebacker, Cajuns aren't running the football. Eventually they did, and, you know, they were able to some extent. But there's no question. App State is the class of the Sun Belt, and the Cajuns overall just aren't there yet. But they're getting closer. And I certainly think that they're at least a quarterback away, but they're not to the level of App State. Last night was a fair reminder of that, but they're getting closer. The third and final thing that I'll tell you didn't have anything to do with what went on between the lines, but it just has to be said from my perspective. Again, I had to be real with you. This athletic administration, this football program, has been begging for 36,000 people to show up in that place. They listed more than 21,000 as the official attendance last night, and I believe it. That was not an inflated number. eyeball test, I kind of thought it was in that 22 to 24 range. So I believe 21 and some change. You've been begging for 36,000. I'm here to tell you, you were not prepared for 21,000. The fans, I thought, did their part. The parking was atrocious, but I can even give a pass there. I can. It was free, and so, you know, beggars can't be bitchers in a situation like that. But also, I think if it were LSU, almost any other SEC venue, imagine everybody getting off work from 4 to 6 p.m. and then trying to get to a game for 7. It was always going to be a cluster. My bigger problem was the concessions. And if you're giving them away for $2, $3, $4, that's one thing. But if you can't get within smelling distance of the front of the line, that's another. I'm not the only one that feels this way. A program that's been wanting 36,000 got 21,000 on a flipping weeknight and wasn't prepared for it. By the time the first beer man started coming down the steps in my section, dude was mobbed because nobody could go up and stand in a line and then actually be able to watch the game live instead of on one of the TVs inside of the kind of mezzanine level. So it's hard for me not to have that takeaway. There's measuring up to App State, the standard on the field, and then there's trying to set the standard with the game day experience too. And I think this administration has done not a good job, but a great job. And I mean that overall. Brian Maggard, Nick Oyanko, and company, since coming over, I think they've been phenomenal. But last night for me, just weren't ready, not even close, to accommodate the number of people that were there. They wanted to come, they wanted to get loud, and they wanted to get a little lubricated inside the stadium. And it was a chore for a long time to do the last one of those three things. So, Clint, those are the things I took away. Cajuns lost 17-7, season by no stretch over. Cajuns can absolutely still play in the Sun Belt Conference title game. It just won't be here in Lafayette, almost certainly now. But, boy, does that open up an interesting possibility, and I'll just throw out this as a segue. Now, maybe, just maybe, the high school football select state championships could be here in the Hub City. Just putting a little thought bubble above my head, right? You know, cartoon style. Just thinking out loud here. But, Clint, I'll get your reactions. Those were my big takeaways from the Cajuns game last night. Not the result anybody wanted. I think you could see where the defense has taken huge steps forward. But this program on the field, not yet where App State is. And then some of the stuff off the field, the receptivity for a fan base that actually did their job and showed up, I would say they weren't ready.
And I'd agree with you on that last point there, Ben. And my biggest takeaway is without a doubt the effort that we saw from one man and one man in particular. I felt like that was a big reason why this game was a little more competitive than maybe it could have been. And that is Reese Burns, who I felt like was a college version of Thomas Morstead. The dude was pinning them constantly inside the 10-yard line. I believe he almost had three in the first quarter alone. The guy was absolutely fantastic. I feel like that was the one thing that I can say right here, right now, definitely made this ball game go from a potentially high-scoring affair, because we know these two teams love playing that high-speed offense, to being more of a low-scoring, longer-drive affair, because you want to put App State pinned. I believe on average, they start their drives about the 13, 14-yard line.
You know, it's a great point you make. Field position, that battle tilted way in favor of the Cajuns. And you're right, I think it was maybe about the 13 or 14-yard line. The App State own 13 or 14 was their average starting field position for the Cajuns. It was more like their own 32. So huge discrepancy there. And I can't help but think that if they can get a quarterback in who kind of has a little bit more of a feel for the pocket. Again, I've seen Levi a number of times last season, even more this year. Boy, that whirly bird, Fran Tarkenton routine, excuse me, where when you feel the pressure, hey, in the NFL, they love you to eventually step up in the pocket. Dude was running backwards, and I mean running circles and going backwards and occasionally running out of bounds to avoid contact. They're doing the best they can with the quarterback they have right now. What's going to happen going forward as Napier and company can start to cook with their own ingredients at that position? Time will tell. Is Chandler Fields the guy for the future? The cat that they got, McDowell from Spring, Texas, is he the future quarterback? I'm not sure. But something tells me, like LSU was able to do, hitting the jackpot with Joe Burrow in the transfer lottery, I think the Cajuns on the group of five level, they're going to have to go fishing maybe in that same type of pond. That's just what I observed from last night and so far this season. But a lot to play for still for the Cajuns, and a whole lot in front of LSU, especially with a big ball game this Saturday night. On the other side of this break, we'll start to probe you a little bit on Tigers v. Gators. But I promise it won't hurt. More of a mental probe. And then we got a huge guest list today. Danny Jones stopping by at 4:30. And if you can imagine, the UT Longhorns fanatic wants to talk Red River rivalry. So we'll get his flavor of Longhorns Sooners in Dallas. That preview coming at you at 4:30. At straight up 5 o'clock, Gordy Rush, LSU football sideline reporter, his vantage point on Tigers and Gators. And at 5:30, Blaine Viator will dial him up on the phone to talk the biggest games from around the Acadiana area this week. And I think at the tip top is going to be Karen Crow at Turling. So we'll discuss that at 5:30. Clint and I will be out at 6 today. We'll send you to Minute Maid Park at 6 o'clock. 6:07 will be your first pitch. Tyler Glasnow versus Garrett Cole. Win or go home, Astros v. Rays. It's going to be a big afternoon turning into a huge evening on Acadiana Sports Station, so don't go anywhere. We'll take a quick timeout, and we'll be right back to the Tap Room River Ranch with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something that none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We've had some very spirited practices on Monday and Tuesday. Today's turnover Wednesday. We're focusing on the turnover ratio, improving our turnover ratio. I thought our team improved on tackling last week, but we have to tackle well in space. These guys are very athletic on offense. Been working a lot on protection. We're going to have to protect our quarterback to be able to run the plays that we want.
There you go. Ed Ogeron, tackling in space. It got better against Utah State, but the Aggies aren't walking through the door Saturday night. That will be the Florida Gators. We're going to get to LSU, Florida momentarily. Take your calls as well. And per the usual, I got a question coming up for you. But a reminder, as we're hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch, Rhythms on the River going to start in less than an hour. Chris Ardwan is playing outside, back inside. From 8 to 11, it's the soulful vibes of David and Jada. No cover charge. It's the best way I could possibly think of to watch the Giants at the Patriots. A 17-point spread in the NFL. Best possible way to watch that is not listen to the darn thing. Come take in the music and enjoy everything at the Tap Room River Ranch. All right, CD. I don't want to waste a lot of time. Ogeron just pointed out one of the most important aspects for LSU in this number 5 versus number 7 matchup in Death Valley. I want to keep going down that road. I'll get to a question as soon as you play the music.
Love, exciting and new.
Your sink or swim question of the day: what matchup in the LSU-Florida game goes the most in the Tigers' favor? Again, the number to play, 706-0111. Clint, what say you?
To me, Ben, it feels way too easy to go this route, but it's the way I'm going to go, and that is to say the position battle that they have, that's their best at, is the quarterback position. I think that's going to favor the most the LSU Tigers because it's Joe Burrow, and the way Joe Burrow has played throughout the season has shown us, hey, he can wind up putting the team on his back and being able to get things done. Meanwhile, you've got on the Florida side, you got Kyle Trask, who just had a really tough injury last week in that game against Auburn. This is absolutely a position battle that I can say right here, right now, LSU has the tremendous edge over the Florida Gators.
I think it's LSU's passing game as well, not just because of Burrow and that they've been able to force their will on every opponent they've played so far, five games into the season. I believe that LSU's wide receivers are going to really make some of these Florida DBs look bad. And just like LSU, Florida's got an abundant amount of talent at those positions. These are the two that most commonly kind of jostle for the DBU title, right? LSU, I think, has better frontline talent in the secondary this year, but I think they're thinner than Florida. the front line for Florida, I believe, is going to feel the full wrath of Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, and some of the other LSU wideouts that will start to fill into the voids, or maybe continue to fill in the voids from a week ago without Terrace Marshall Jr. So, for me, it is the LSU passing game, but it might be a little too simple to say, hey, it's just Burrow. Yeah, he's the biggest part of it. The offensive line, now fully intact on the left side, the way that James Craig has wanted it all offseason long. He's finally going to line up with Ed Ingram at left guard, Sadiq Charles back at left tackle. It's amazing when you're not quote-unquote suspended for the biggest game of the season so far at home, but that's another story. I just think that it's set up perfectly for LSU to get the ball out quickly and have their dynamic future NFL receivers just wreak havoc in the Florida secondary. So it is LSU's passing game against Florida's pass defense, but I want to give a lot of credit here to the receivers and the pass catchers, and I won't completely in this lose Thaddeus Moss in the discussion. So I think it's the collective pass catchers for LSU in the ball game. Let's get your 2 cents on the subject. We need some weigh-in, some buy-in on a Thursday. Call us up. Let us know. 706-0111. While we wait, I know that so far on social media, we're getting a little bit of reaction. So let's share that with you. Again, the sink or swim question of the day, the matchup in Saturday night's game that goes the most in LSU's favor. Sam Burley on Twitter, definitely QB. Florida's running with a backup with a sprained MCL. Tigers rolling with the Heisman hopeful. All right, that's a little more position to position. Those two won't face one another, but I agree with Sam. Hard not to. And the thing we learned, I think, earlier in the week that was stamped home yesterday by our guest Bob Rudman, Swamp247.com. He's been covering the Gators for decades. Kyle Trask hasn't started a true road game since one of the first 2 years he was in high school. Just please let that sink in. Please. He was a backup to a four-star dual-threat quarterback in high school. He went to a camp when Mullen first got to Gainesville. Mullen was impressed. He said, we need him on the roster. He sat behind Felipe Franks the last few years. The last time he started a game on the road, he was a young high schooler. Imagine opening your eyes, even as a cool cucumber, on Saturday night and you are in Death Valley. Wow. That would just be a jarring experience, I think, for anyone. Let's get out now to the Artco Equipment Hotline. Frank, you've heard our takes. Let's get yours.
Ben, I can't believe you followed Clint down the rabbit hole.
How so?
You went quarterback? Dude, it's got to be Elair versus defensive line.
All right, well, give me more on that. I think LSU will set up the run with the pass, but you seem to think they're going to be very successful with it.
Well, they have to be because this is a bait and switch. It's a classic move, setting every SEC opponent up with the whole, we're going to pass it down your throat, and we're going to bait your cornerbacks into buying in the little 15-yard out routes, 15-yard dig routes. And then, boom, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think LSU is going to run a lot of draw plays. I think LSU is going to run a lot of wing plays. I think Helaire is going to beat up the defensive line into submission.
If that happens, LSU not only wins, they are covering this game, and it won't be particularly close. So I want to hear from you tomorrow. Don't get me wrong. But, Frank, we need to catch up on this subject Monday. I'm sure we will.
Hey, that's too easy, Ben.
Kind of like stealing almost. We'll take some more of your calls. 706-0111. I just want to point this out. You'll notice that Clint and I have answered. Frank has chimed in. Nary a one of us has mentioned a part of LSU's defense. How weird is this? I mean, seriously, I know that we've been watching this since Labor Day weekend now. How weird is this? We're no longer discussing Dave Aranda's defense as not only a strength on the team, but at times in the latter Miles era and very, very early into the full-time tenure of Ed Ogeron, it was the only freaking redeeming quality on the team. An offense that had a lot of skill talent but didn't know how to utilize it. An offensive line that underperformed. It's amazing, isn't it? We're talking about an LSU-Florida game in particular, and we're not talking about LSU's defense. Doesn't mean they won't be effective, but I'm just pointing out, it does mean that they are an afterthought, and right now I think that's a fair word for it. All right, we'll take one more. We got to be quick. Let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Brandon, you're up.
I don't know what you were just talking about, but I say the LSU defensive line and Kalavon Chessel against the Florida weak offensive line. That's going to be the matchup right there. Can we exploit them and get to the quarterback?
There you go. And now somebody has answered defense. Brandon, thank you. I'll say this before we hit a break. It's got a chance to be a matchup that goes big time in LSU's favor. I don't know that it's certainly destined to be because some of those guys have been awfully dinged up. Chaisson's going to be back. Hadn't played in a little bit, at least not full-time, down in, down out. Don't know how often we're going to see Rashard Lawrence. Don't know if we're going to see Glenn Logan at all. But Bob Redman, Florida insider, again, I'll keep going to the well here. He also told us yesterday O-line is the shakiest area of this Florida team. So is LSU at its best and healthiest able to take advantage of the O-line? You bet they are. Will they be that way Saturday night? Don't know. But it's like Brandon said, they certainly can be. That's a great call. All right, we'll take a quick break. Halfway point of the 4 o'clock hour, Danny Jones talking Red River rivalry. On the other side, I'm amped up about this. We're going to take a quick timeout, and we'll be right back to the Taproom River Ranch with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Is Acadiana's number one sports station, and you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game, live online at 103.7thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 103.7 The Game.
Right back into the Taproom River Ranch. Starting to heat up inside here. I know a lot of people getting ready for rhythms on the river. Trust me, it's cooler here. The beer, it's frigid, and you'll have live music beginning at 8. What is the biggest college football game on the docket? I guess it depends this week where you reside. In South Louisiana, we kind of like LSU, Florida. You go a little bit west, they're pretty fond of the Red River Shootout. And with that, going to be joined by Danny Jones, voice of the STM Cougars, proud UT Longhorn alum. And that's one heck of a rivalry. Glad you're here to discuss it.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously been talked about as one of the hottest rivalries in college football. And you know, some will say, you know, LSU, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, you know, Princeton, Harvard. You know, I think probably the best is Army Navy, hands down.
Yep.
They get their own weekend.
It means more than anything else.
Absolutely. But, you know, I would venture to say even this, even towards the latter part, because Texas A&M is just not very good. But as they wound down and couldn't handle it in the Big 12, so decided to leave to go to the SEC, that can't handle it there either, that the rivalry between Texas and Oklahoma probably hit a bigger high than when it ended in against Texas A&M in 2011. You know, obviously everybody loved the Texas-Texas A&M game, and it was awesome. It was one of the greatest traditions around Thanksgiving. But the Red River rivalry at the Cotton Bowl, you know, the original Cotton Bowl, not, hey, let's move it to Jerry World at Arlington. You know, it set the scene inside the state fair, and if you want something fried, they got everything fried. They got fried styrofoam cups, fried moon pies, fried butter.
More cotton candy than Rufino's on the river?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. So, you know, it's a great tradition inside the state fair at the Cotton Bowl. Obviously, the city of Dallas made some upgrades to the Cotton Bowl facility, upgraded the seating to, I think, 92,000-plus several years ago in an attempt to keep that game from going to Arlington and to Jerry's World AT&T Stadium. So I prefer it at Cotton Bowl. I hope they never move it. You know, the elements are part of it, whether it happens to be cold, not really normally cold, but rainy. It's just part of it, you know, and it's one of the it's one of those that makes college football one of the great things it is. Obviously, it's typically the same weekend as LSU Florida also.
So, Danny, help me with this. Give me more of the fan experience. Again, we're getting ready. I'm going to call it the Red River Shootout. I'm just old school like that.
Amen.
But it's coming up Saturday, high noon in Dallas.
11 a.m.
That's right. I'm so sorry.
11 a.m.
Noon Eastern. That's on me. 11 a.m. Central Time.
We'll miss the first quarter and a half.
I come from the background of Florida, Georgia, and I'm bitter about it, as I've said too many times in the program probably, because it's not equidistant from Athens and from Gainesville. And so I think the fan bases in that one kind of have different viewpoints of that game. When it comes to this one, how do you think that Longhorns as well as Sooners fans look at coming to the Middle? Are they happy this one's a neutral site game?
I think it would be a travesty if this ever got brought to Norman and Austin as a home-and-home series. I think there's just something about, you know, Texas OU weekend. You know, it doesn't become Texas OU weekend if you have a home game. You know, it's Texas OU weekend for the organizations, fraternities, sororities, and, you know, alum, students, whoever it is. Look, it is right down the 50-yard line, and it is half orange and it's half crimson. You know, they always get the Oklahoma fans always get the tunnel, which is kind of odd, but it's one thing that's just always been part of it. So our guys got to go through that tunnel at least, you know, two or three times every game.
They got to fit a wagon through there.
Well, that thing's
awful. I guess they don't have to.
That thing's awful, too. It has fallen over before. But, no, it's the experience of the Cotton Bowl and, you know, go get you a fried turkey leg or, you know, whatnot. But it's truly, and again, I know the LSU-Florida game and people enjoy LSU and Alabama and don't really know if that's a rivalry or not. I mean, you know, you can go back as far as, you know, LSU and Texas A&M when they used to play in the first game of the season. You know, that was a rivalry because it happened every year. You know, the scheduling of college football has changed so much. And
also the hottest games every single year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I sat through one of those, the LSU-Texas game this year, and it was brutally hot. But, you know, these are the kind of games that, to me, make college football. You know, I get that, you know, you got to play the Chattanoogas of the world if you're Alabama, or you got to play, you know, Southeastern if you're LSU, and you're going to do it. I wish we lived in a world where FBS did not play FCS. I understand monetarily maybe they need to or they want to or they want to help out, but there's got to be something done because in a world where you're having trouble getting fans to games because of TV and what TV has come to offer, you're struggling. You have 100,000-seat stadiums, and you're playing, you know, the Citadel or whoever it may be.
Well, and let's not bury this fact either. Both of these programs, these athletic departments, these universities are trying to target one of their biggest alumni bases as well in Dallas. So this is a huge recruiting weekend on all fronts for both OU and UT.
Well, it's no different than Texas playing Rice earlier this year at NRG Stadium.
That's right.
You know, obviously it was a home game for Rice. Rice loved it because they had 30,000 people there, which they're not going to get at many games. If you've never been to a Rice game, it is absolutely worth it to watch the mob, the marching owl band. They make fun of the opponent, and it's absolutely hilarious. Even they dog on your school and whatnot, but it's a recruiting thing, and obviously for Texas, they're trying to get back into the Dallas area. They haven't done very good in the Dallas area, especially during the Bob Stoops era at Oklahoma. So it is big. It's big for alumni. It's big for everybody. And, you know, this game carries so much weight, just like LSU-Florida does this weekend, because of where they are ranked nationally. You know, do I think Florida's as good as people think they are? No, but I thought Auburn was going to beat them, and I thought Auburn beat them handily. I thought Auburn was overrated. I don't see Florida keeping this very close against LSU. Now, I hope I'm wrong on the spreads, because if that's the case, we're in trouble against OU. They're a double-digit favorite also. But, again, Tom Herman plays well as an underdog. I like our chances against Oklahoma. Can we just fire Jason Garrett and let Jerry Jones hire Lincoln Riley and get him out of OU? Because
he's a stud. I mean, we're seeing that progression right now with Cliff Kingsbury going to Arizona. There's no reason Riley couldn't.
No, it's Lincoln's – what he's done at Oklahoma – I mean, he took Kyler Murray, who should have never been a Heisman Trophy winner, much less a number one pick in the draft, and he did it. Baker Mayfield, obviously you're seeing either he's having a sophomore slump or he's not as good, but 8 of 22 for 98 yards is not going to cut it in the NFL and couldn't happen to a finer fella. But at the same time, what Lincoln Riley's doing, so as a Texas fan, you love to see your school be able to beat higher-ranked teams. But, man, I just wish Oklahoma wasn't as good every year. But, again, Oklahoma hasn't played much of anybody this year so far, and Texas's schedule has been okay. And I say okay because LSU was on it, so that takes the bottom part up and brings it up a whole lot. And they were tested. Texas is tested because of the LSU game, no doubt.
We'll get back to the Red River Shootout momentarily, but I want to switch gears. We're talking with Danny Jones, voice of the St. Thomas More Football Cougars. Was that the best game you've ever witnessed and called Friday night at Cougar Stadium?
Oh, man. Obviously, for those of listening in that don't listen to STM football, STM lost 52-50 to Catholic of Baton Rouge, and it was a back-and-forth affair, never more than one score difference between the two teams. And with literally 1 second on the clock, Catholic kicked a 34-yard field goal to win 52-50. And it truly was. Man, there's been a lot of made about this game on social media this week already. You know, the number of times that Gabe Fertitta has called out on social media, which I don't quite understand, the fact of STM having 12 guys on the field seven times. I don't think it's a taught thing. I've had conversations with several people. There were personnel issues, and there was special packages, and there was typically one player in those packages. And I know what's happened behind closed doors this week in discussing film. I don't think it's a taught thing. You know, there's been conversations, or not so much from the Catholic side, about, you know, the 8 to 9 seconds that the clock stopped on their last drive for
about a minute and a half left.
Yeah, yeah. Minute 23 to go. So, you know, there's no conspiracy theory going on. These are, look, the same way these are high school kids, man. These referees are not professionals.
I hate to even cloud it with that. I know you do too, because the ball game
was excellent. It was
an excellent
ball game.
I was in St. Martin Parish, but I heard it was just unbelievable.
To go and say it was one of the best I've seen, if not the best. Obviously, that U-High game back and forth last year in the state championship game was special to be a part of. But the excitement and really the mid-season playoff feel atmosphere. I mean,
yeah.
When Max Preps ranks you as one of the top 10 games in the country, what I told Sam in our pregame show was, I hope this game lives up to the hype. And for one time, it did.
Yeah.
You know, it was – the worst cliche in sports when two teams play well is that I hated to see either team lose. One team has to lose, and that's just the way it goes. But both of those programs are going to win state championships this
maybe,
year.
Maybe, because Catholic will have to face John Curtis.
John Curtis
is awfully good.
Both of these teams will win state championships this year.
Okay, you're adamant.
Because this game helped them.
All right.
I truly believe this was probably the two best teams in the state. And the only bad part about it is they only get to play once, that they're not in the same division and get to match up again somewhere down the line in the division playoffs.
Now we're really forking off the path, but we're here, so why not? A lot of chatter that
it's awful.
STM may just face a familiar foe at some point deep in the playoffs, and maybe it won't be Evangels, we kind of thought preseason. Maybe it won't be U-High again. Maybe it won't be Parkview again. Maybe, just maybe, Terlings Catholic. With the way they're playing, could make a really deep run in these playoffs. I know where the cart is so far ahead of the horse here.
No, that's okay.
Wouldn't that be something?
It would. And look, I think obviously Terlings has played well. They're 4-1 on the season. That one loss to Louis Cook and the Notre Dame Pios, and Louis just got the Rebels' number. 42-31, they lost a week at, or almost 2 weeks ago. Look, I still think this St. Thomas More team is special. I think they're good, and you're gonna.
No question.
People are gonna laugh when I say defensively they've been playing well. They gave up 52 points against Catholic. Catholic gave up 12 points against Carr. We scored 50 on them. Okay, so I mean, sometimes you just have somebody's number.
Yeah.
And that's what happened on the offense to the defense on both sides Friday night. I'm not sure, and folks, I don't work for St. Thomas More. Okay, so this is strictly my opinion. I don't think there's anybody in our district that's within 4 touchdowns of us. Maybe that's a bit much, but 3 for sure. I just think there's too much firepower, and the defense has a lot of experience. It's back, and overall it is doing some great things. That's not a slight on anybody. I just think St. Thomas More's got that much firepower right now.
I think you could well be right. I'll know more in about 30 hours after I've seen Karen go Terlings, and I'll tell you about it. All right, let me take the cast and reel this bad boy back in. We started Texas, OU, the Red River Shootout. Danny Jones with us for another few moments. Give me your thoughts on these two quarterbacks. And I'm going to make you start with the guy on the other side, and I'm betting you have as much respect for Jalen Hurts as anybody who's played quarterback for that program in a long time.
Look, what was Jalen Hurts in his career as a starting quarterback at Alabama? 21-2 or whatever the number is that Jalen Hurts was as a starting quarterback for the Crimson Tide. There's not a better feel-good story in college football. At least right now. There may be at some point during the season. But to see this guy go have success, and again, I'll go back to, I don't think Oklahoma's schedule. Yes, they played UCLA, but Chip Kelly just hasn't gotten that thing turned around out west at all yet. So I don't think their quality of opponent that they have played has tested Jalen Hurts a whole bunch. Maybe in the Big 12 it won't be. Especially I would consider this a very down year, third best conference best in the Big 12. I don't think Iowa State's as good as they, you know, had been a year ago. Maybe Matt Campbell in a transition year up there. You know, Les Miles is going to take a while if he turns them around. West Virginia's not great. They're good at home. I don't know where Oklahoma catches them. But So take their schedule away, and yes, his stats have been phenomenal, and some of it he's only played a half or three quarters. There's not a better feel-good story. It's hard not to root for Jalen Hurts. This kid went to Alabama, and he did everything they asked him to, including winning a national championship. And I'm not sure he got beat out by a better athlete. He might have gotten beat out by a better quarterback. You know, I think Alabama would still have won and lost every game with or without Jalen Hurts, that they had the same record. You know, Clemson was head and shoulders above them a year ago. That's obvious. So I'm not sure that game would have been different, Tua or Jalen. But the fact that he has an opportunity, and this is one of the good things about the transfer portal, and there's not many of them at all.
We agree.
But the fact that he has a chance to go to Norman and doing what he does, and look, if you're a quarterback, you got to go play under Lincoln Riley. Why would you not? And so I'm happy for Jalen Hurts. I am not rooting for him tomorrow, and if we play them again in the Big 12 championship, I will not root for him.
Before you go in on Sam Ellinger, he opened my eyes in that LSU game. I had no idea he was that type of passer.
Well, and neither did Chasson. You know, and he had played against him in high school. I think what you've seen, and I wasn't sure when Ellinger was a freshman that he was the answer at quarterback for Texas. And then when I saw him play a year ago, and he got better and he got better.
He played well in this game a year ago.
He did. This was kind of his coming out party because he had a whole freshman year. And then the way he put Texas on his shoulders in the Sugar Bowl, not to bring up, you know, bad memories, but he put
the Catholic game. Go ahead.
Yeah. But I mean, he was a one man wrecking crew. He had, you know, he had everybody around him playing their specific roles. But this is a chance on, you know, the Heisman Trophy race is wide open right now, and there's a chance that whoever wins tomorrow, the quarterback of either Texas or Oklahoma, or sorry, not tomorrow, Saturday, is going to separate themselves and leave the other one behind as you go forward, probably in the Heisman Trophy race, to compete with Burrow and, you know, Jonathan Taylor and whoever
Tua,
whoever else comes up. So where Ellinger has come, look, I don't know if either one of these quarterbacks have a future in the NFL as a quarterback, and that's okay because Vince Young was a great college quarterback. He was a terrible, well, he was an okay pro that eventually got terrible, but both of these guys, I think, have an opportunity to be great college quarterbacks. They already are great college quarterbacks, but now you're talking about what legacy they leave.
Hey, got to hit a break. But before we do, Jack Besh earlier today, talking about St. Thomas More football, picked up a Houston Cougars offer from Dana Holgorsen. Pretty big time.
It's pretty big time if he can keep King there and he doesn't transfer to Oklahoma. Because that may be the next thing in line, the next great quarterback to play for Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. But I think, you know, obviously Jack has put up some phenomenal numbers, had over 200 yards last week against Catholic, and he's got an offer from Billy Napier and the Raging Cajuns, now Holgorsen at Houston. I think this is probably just the cusp for Jack Besh. If 54 Miles East doesn't offer him, I'll be shocked. And he's only a junior, you know, so that's he's got a phenomenal career ahead of him. Keep his head, keep doing what he does, and I think many of offers from big-time programs will find their way to Jack Besh at 450 East Farrell Road.
And we will see if Uncle Blaine puts in a good word. All right, we got to hit our final break of the hour. Danny, you're the best. We'll be listening to you on this station tomorrow night, STM against Westgate. We'll be right back in, talk a little more LSU Florida on the other side. We're hanging out at the Tap Room River Ranch after a brief timeout. Back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Hook 'em horn.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before. Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Here we go, right back in. Short segment, but still, happy we had Danny Jones aboard. A lot of fun there. We can take your calls now, 706-0111. Ben Love hanging out, bringing you home live from the Tap Room River Ranch. I love getting into big college football rivalries. It's part of the reason I wanted to do that today. We talked a little more high school mixed in there than I anticipated, but, you know, win in South Lafayette. You'll probably talk a little STM football, and we did. I think that Texas-Oklahoma has a chance to be closer than the spread. I thought for a while that LSU-Florida has a chance to be closer than the spread, but, man, some of the external factors are making me do a double take. Not going to lie to you. Had a long conversation before the show started at the bar with a couple of gentlemen who Yeah, they like LSU a lot. Minus 13, minus 14, whatever they're finding, they're liking the Tigers. And some of that's drinking the home Kool-Aid. I get that. Not sure they serve Kool-Aid at the tap room, but you get what I mean. But the rest of it is the fact that Kyle Trask hasn't been in an environment like this. He's playing with the sprained MCL. Florida's offensive line is shaky. Joe Burrow's playing like a man possessed. I think there are a lot of things that point toward LSU in this game, and maybe even point toward LSU big, trying to decipher just how big. And I did have intended for this segment, I wanted to run back some of our clips from Bob Redman. Went a little longer with Danny than expected, so no big deal. We have time in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll go down that road. But Bob, I think, even kind of anticipates that Florida's O-line is going to struggle a bit on Saturday night. A little bit dinged up, a little bit young. And let's be honest, they had to go up against an Auburn D-line that's incredibly physical. I mean, if you look at 3 and 5 for Auburn, I mean, those guys are just like just physical butterball turkeys, basically. They're massive when you look at them, right? The gut sticks out. They're wearing that single digit. They're big. And they caused a lot of damage. Even if Florida won that football game and Trask was able to get the better of Bo Nix and Auburn, I think Florida's O-line certainly had some issues. And so we'll talk a little bit more, especially at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, on LSU Florida. Gordy Rush, LSU football sideline reporter, joins the program. We'll have Blaine Viator coming aboard in about 35 minutes to talk the biggest prep football games in the area this week. Karen Crowe-Turlings probably at the top. Danny Jones said he thinks that everybody in District 5-4A, maybe 3 to 4 touchdowns removed from the level of STM. Maybe right, maybe wrong, don't know. But I think that these two, tomorrow night, on the north side of Lafayette, are probably the next two in line behind the Cougars. So excited to talk with Gordy and Blaine in the 5 o'clock hour. But right now, I want to wind down our 4 o'clock hour, as we always do, Clint, with one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Voice. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Survive. Strohs, tonight. You can hear him on Acadiana Sports Station. 6:07 first pitch. It's all about surviving and advancing in a Game 5 situation. We saw last night, top two seeds in the NL, Gone Pecan. Braves got blitzkrieg by my Cardinals early, and what an incredible ending. The Dodgers from Chavez Ravine got granny walked off by the Nats. It can happen to anybody. I tend to believe that with Garrett Cole on the bump, the Strohs will survive tonight. My bigger question is, can they advance through the ALCS with the rotation asunder? That's future problems. Tonight, it's all about surviving. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We're halfway home. We're coming right back in with more Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room River Ranch.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crowe Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running right back into our Thursday happy place. Basically happy hour all the time at the Tap Room River Ranch. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 1037 The Game. Join for the next hour by the famous Clint D. From inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, here's the drill. We've got Game 5, Astros, Rays, live from Minute Maid, 6:07, first pitch. We're going to send you there when our program is over at 6, so you'll have a little Ford and Sparks, maybe 7 minutes worth of Astro launch, and then we'll get you right to the action. But right about now, we got to send you to Baton Rouge. Let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. LSU football sideline reporter Gordy Rush, our guest. Gordy, how are you on a Thursday?
Hey, Ben Love, how are you?
Life is good here. what is different about the Florida offense and Florida's team with Kyle Trask at the helm instead of Franks?
I think they're more physical. They're more physical at the quarterback position. I think Trask is going to tuck in, and he reminds me a little bit more of Alex Smith, whereas I thought Franks was a little bit more of a finesse type of guy, and he was erratic and inconsistent. Trask is still obviously very early in his career, but I think he fits the mold of what Dan Mullen likes at quarterback. Alex Smith, Nick Fitzgerald, he's a little bit better thrower than Fitzgerald, not the runner that he is. Tebow, a dual-threat quarterback that you can run some power stuff with the quarterback in it, and that's, I think, what he brings to the table.
Gordy, every Florida reporter, commentator we've had on this week says O-line for the Gators is shaky. Is LSU's defensive front healthy enough to get after them and exploit that?
Well, I think Rashard Lawrence is absolutely healthy, and I was a little surprised to hear Glenn Logan back at practice, but we'll see. And Jack Verucci's done a wonderful job. But it's a check for LSU. I mean, this is an offensive line that replaced four or five starters from a year ago. Ben, what Dan Mullen brought to Florida last year was the physicality in the running game. They were able to run the football. Franks got hot late in a couple of games, but again, he was inconsistent last year, and against LSU, they really did it with smoke and mirrors. I thought Mullen just called a whale of a football game and kept possession of the football, and of course, Devin White was out for a key series in that game. But it's definitely the weak spot on Florida's team, and I think it's to LSU's advantage, and I think the key on that side of the football is LSU's ability to stop the Florida run game. Auburn held them to 50 yards if you take out Pirine's 88-yarder late that broke the game open. I think that's the key for LSU.
Talking LSU football with our guy Gordy Rush, a whale of a follow on Twitter, at GLRush3. I'll continue down that road with Dan Mullen. Is there anything specific, any kind of magic pixie dust? Why has he been so effective against Dave Aranda when nobody else consistently has?
Oh, I just think that his attention to detail is fantastic. His ability to adjust in-game, yeah, you know, it's excellent. I think Dan Mullen is still one of the more underrated coaches in the league and did more with less at Mississippi State. Now he has a little bit more talent at Florida. And he makes you defend the whole football field. One, two, the quarterback is in play as a runner, so you have to account for him. And he's looking for matchups. So I expect another great chess match when Florida has the football.
We flip it over to the other side when LSU has it. Are they just are they what we've seen, I should say, through the first five games? Are they a team that's going to throw it a lot and then run when they have to, or does that change when you encounter physical SEC defenses?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ben. It was a different look out of LSU against Utah State. They went deeper into the play clock. They didn't go warp speed, if you will, the buzzword that Ed Ogeron uses, and they really, you know, committed more to the run. Do you want to buy into the thought process? They wanted to get out of Utah State pretty healthy. They wanted the clock to run. They wanted to see their running backs a little bit. Or is this a happy medium from what we saw against Vanderbilt? I think the key in this game is going to be going fast. And the reason I think it is going fast is Todd Grantham is a very aggressive defensive coordinator. He's got a lot of different packages, a lot of different looks that he wants to run at you. By going quick, you limit his substitutions and you limit the amount of calls, the variations, the things that he could do. I always tell this when I'm speaking that, look, Nick Saban was famous for having a blitz for every state in the United States, so that's 50 of them. When you go fast and you isolate the personnel on the field, you eliminate the West Coast, all of the Midwest, and the Eastern Seaboard and leave them with the Deep South. And that's what you want to do, leave them with four or five different calls. And that way you can dictate pace and everything else to them. I think that's the direction to go because Florida is not a juggernaut on offense, and if you get into a shootout, I really think it favors LSU.
It's a heck of a visual of the United States map. I could dig that. I'll go to the offensive line next.
And Montana. Montana's out, too. I didn't include Montana, so we're clear on those states, those Dakotas.
Why does the Big Sky state leave so quickly?
Well, because the Big Sky, when you play Big Sky naturally, that's anything big is going to be three or four defensive linemen, and you want to get them out. That's going to rule them off the field. You're going to have to play nickel or dime against LSU.
Well, that just makes good sense. All right, let's go to the LSU O-line, Gordy. James Craig finally has his dream left side, right? It's Sadiq Charles, Ed Ingram.
Yeah.
And I think by the time they get to Bama, those guys will be in sync. Any concerns for you first time out in a game like this?
No, not at all. Ingram's been through the wars. You know, you got him some good work against Utah State. I imagine they'd start with McGee and give Ingram some reps, and we'll see what the balance looks like. The other great thing I love about Ingram's return, it gives you McGee the ability to swing McGee over the right tackle if there's any struggles with Deculus. Deculus actually went down with a brief injury in the second half of the Utah State game, and McGee came in and played right tackle. So you're deeper and more versatile with Ingram.
Another moment or two. Gordy Rush joins the program on 103.7 The Game. LSU, Florida at night, first time in a decade. How does Kyle Trask respond? From what I'm told, Gordy, it's his first road game since maybe his sophomore year of high school. How do you come into this environment and kind of survive, much less thrive?
Yeah, no, not to mention with recovering from a sprained knee, right? It's difficult. I mean, look what happened to Bo Nix in Florida. And you throw all that magic in, and also the fact that, I mean, let's face it, LSU's ticked off. You know Ed Ogeron well enough. He didn't appreciate the beatdown 2 years ago. Felt he should have won the football game in Gainesville a year ago. You know, there's not going to be much love for Dan Mullen. So now you got a revenge game, game day, different atmosphere. You got to imagine this is a tough spot for Kyle Trask.
Has it been confirmed that John Goodman is the guest picker for College Game Day?
All I know is Jay Ducote is going to cook a gator. I have not heard anything about Goodman. I've heard a lot of rumors out there. I'm trying to stay out of that, Ben. That's out of my arena. Greg Stringfellow is involved in that stuff.
As a guy, Gordy, that played LSU football not long after everybody's All-American came out, fan of the movie or don't care for it?
Well, first off, they filmed it on my transfer year, so I actually lived in the stadium. So I would walk down and go sit in the stands after, you know, a night having an adult beverage and go watch some of the filming of it. Yeah, like the movie, definitely like the movie. Quaid wasn't the nicest guy at those times. He's warmed up a little bit later, but definitely a fan of the movie.
I love that. We've gotten to Montana, a little bit of Quaid as well. I didn't think we'd touch all these bases, but it's only appropriate. Gordy, you know we appreciate you, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Ben.
Gordy Rush, a guy that watched the taping of Everybody's All-American. And still unconfirmed if John Goodman is the guy as ESPN College Game Day's guest picker. I love that anecdote, though. And I really do dig that kind of U.S. map, take off the states, take off the regions. Can LSU's offense knock off a couple of coasts with the speed they play at? Can it be warp speed, and how will that affect Florida? It's a great point from Gordy. And, CD, before we hit a break, I have an opportunity now, a few minutes left on the end of this segment. I wanted to air out some of what Bob Redman, Swamp247.com, had to say on the subject of Florida, in particular, Kyle Trask. And so you heard what Gordy Rush had to say. Let's go to the other side of the ledger. Here's Bob Redman on a quarterback that doesn't have a lot of college seasoning, also dealing, as Gordy mentioned, with that sprained knee.
This is really the most surprising thing for me. He's so laid back and so, you know, just soft-spoken and that kind of thing, where Felipe Franks is the absolute opposite. but Trask is kind of, you know, he's internal and he just doesn't let it out, but he's got a lot of poise. He really does. And it's like nothing seems to have shaken him yet. He's been put into he had an 11-point deficit in the fourth quarter against Kentucky, and the Gators went on to score 19 straight points and win the game. So
it's interesting. The Florida side remarking on how poised he is, and perhaps in comparison to Felipe Franks, that is appropriate. In fact, it seems almost obvious. Franks is so hot and cold. Emotions rule everything. I mean, even after the season opening win over Miami, punting the football into the stands, he's just kind of that dude. And you heard it from Braden Fajoco earlier this week. Great soundbite. LSU media goes in, and Fajoco says, we didn't appreciate Florida's quarterback last year prancing around after the game like they won the Super Bowl. This one's going to be fun. I really feel that way. Again, does LSU cover? I don't know. Does LSU win the ball game? Boy, I feel good about that. I really do. And we'll continue discussing that as the show progresses. Speaking of LSU Florida, LSU President F. King Alexander has given a bit of a mandate from on high in the ivory tower. I'll tell you about it on the other side, and you know that's got to be part of throwing shade. In about 18 or 19 minutes following some shade, it'll be Blaine Viator. We're talking prep football in the Acadiana area. You don't want to miss any of it, so stick around. We're going to take a brief timeout, and we'll be right back to the Tap Room River Ranch with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports, but feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
The fun continues as B2BS rolls live from the Tap Room River Ranch. The live music has begun outside. Now my ears aren't that good. In fact, I've got a headset on. I can't hear it. I'm just working on good authority. That Chris Hardwin doing his thing with Rhythms on the River. What I do know and what I will consume and hear with my own ears from 8 to 11. David and Jada making their debut performance. Live local music tonight at the Tap Room River Ranch and every Thursday night. Never a cover charge. Just come with us. Have a great time. Start your weekend a touch early. So this LSU-Florida game, we've been hyping it. We have discussed the vitriol ever since Monday. Started to get more toward a fever pitch on Tuesday after the tweet from Gators tight end Ciante Lewis. LSU players, Burrow, Chaseau, Fajoco clapping back with a little bit more class, but nonetheless, we don't like you, we're not going to like you type stuff. And we keep getting closer and closer. And it's starting to feel like it's about football more and more, not just about fan bases that hate each other, right? Even athletic departments that have been sideways, although that's probably more because of Oliva and the guy that Florida used to have, neither of whom are around anymore. And yet, I still have the same type of feeling I did Monday today, CD. I still feel strongly that this one is going to be a little brutal outside of Tiger Stadium, not just with the physicality inside of it. And I've been saying this. You want to get in on the conversation, you agree, you disagree with me, please call 706-0111. But my contention is this, and I'll give you my background with it. Grew up in the 90s, going to LSU football games as a kid who grew up in Baton Rouge. Was a Boy Scout usher, quite literally, that brought people to their seats. And then started to get a little bit older and drive out to Tiger Stadium and park. I've seen it during a portion of time in the 90s, especially during the Bring Back the Magic era, where things were more than just chippy outside of that stadium, right? I remember coming back as a Georgia student for LSU-UGA 2003. Some pretty vile things would happen. And anybody listening that's of a certain age, certainly people older than me, can tell me about times prior to the 90s. I think it's fair to say that LSU fans got a reputation. And they weren't the only ones. You go to Gainesville, it's happening in Florida too. You can go all over the place. It's happening outside of Opelika on the plains in Auburn. Just nastiness. I mean, Tennessee and Phil Fulmer having their bus shaken by LSU fans trying to enter the stadium. It was downright nasty. It has gotten more genteel. It has been a lot more hospitable. I think you're going to see a lot of that disappear for this game, these circumstances, this situation on Saturday night. I really do, which is what makes shade today for me all the more ironic. So now that I've set you up, let's get to the heart of the matter. I'll remind you first that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the Cypress accents. And know that you can trust their professional installers inside your home. Collectively, the pros at Patio Center, they want to up your patio game. All it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
You may recall, several months ago, prior to this summer, there was a coup in Baton Rouge. It was one that left Joe Oliva out, and it brought in Scott Woodward. But another guy who was caught up in that Will Wade firestorm, it was LSU President F. King Alexander. Well, he is still around, and here is the statement he has made in a letter to LSU fans, quote, "We could be fierce opponents on the football field, but we should be gracious hosts to all our invited guests off the field," end quote. To which I respond, no bleeping way does that happen. Not even a little bit. Not with the circumstances, not with the opponent, not with the time of this game. Uh-uh. It's not going to happen. And I'm not even full out telling you that I endorse it, but I fully anticipate it. This one's going to be a little ugly outside of Tiger Stadium. So you might want to pull up your popcorn, and you might want to bring the riot gear. But F. King Alexander, you cannot ask the Tiger, once you put the raw meat in front of it, not to clamp down on the damn raw meat. You're dreaming, bro.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Those are my two cents. Now let's get yours. We're going to take a trip out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Max, thank you for waiting there. What you got for us?
Ben, you hit the nail on the head, and I got the recipe why. When you start tailgating, I'm leaving Lafayette at the crack of dawn. Starting tailgating at 8. Game's not till 7. Weather's going to be picture perfect. And with the hatred we already have for Florida, all I can say is let the band play next.
There it is. Max, laying it out there. I love that call. We can take some more. 706-0111. There's one thing I forgot to lump in that Max brought up, and good on you, Max. The idea that it's going to be beautiful weather and kind of cool and crisp. Clint, there's something let me connect some dots here. There's something I don't know about you, and shame on me. Do you have a dog at the Domang household?
No, I do not.
Okay, so you haven't witnessed this phenomenon, at least you don't currently witness it if you don't currently have a dog.
Yes.
When you let your dog or dogs out and the weather starts to get a little bit like it's been lately, brother, the frisk is real. And if you think that's only limited to the canine species, you're also wrong. The humans get a little frisky as well. And so, Max, it's a solid point. The weather is right. It feels like football. Humans get a little bit of that same canine frisk. You start to imbibe, and then maybe you imbibe a little more. And you build everything else up that we already have with this rivalry, and it certainly is that. LSU-Bama, that's been one-sided. That ain't been a rivalry lately. LSU-A&M, Aggies finally got one. That's starting to become a rivalry. LSU-Florida, for me, is right up there with LSU-Auburn. It just never goes away as a game that you can never take for granted. It's always for real. The stakes are always legit. One may be better than the other, but the margin's just never severe. And the hatred is always there. I have covered LSU games in Gainesville. That ain't a nice place to be. There's a jail inside of Ben Hill Griffin Stadium, and they're pretty keen on throwing you in there if you don't wear the jorts. They just are. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. People I know. Not people I'm related to, but people I know. It happens in other stadiums. LSU has gotten back on the right track, as I've been saying, with some of the Southern hospitality on display. This one's going to be different. Max said, let the band play neck. I'm going to tell you, bring the riot gear. One thing I do know, it's going to be fun. I will not be there. One of the first LSU Florida games I'll have missed in Baton Rouge in a long, long time. But I'm excited for it. I really am. And I'm glad we got the call from Max again. We'll try to take some more a little later in the program. In about 4 minutes, we're going to bring on another guest. And speaking of frisky weather, we've got high school football coming back on a Friday night. Tomorrow, it's going to be a phenomenal atmosphere. Doesn't matter where you are in the Acadiana area, it's going to be a great night for football. We'll discuss all that and more with Blaine Viator, a little Karen Crow Turlings Catholic, a couple of other games that have piqued our interest as well. So make sure you stick around for that. And our final segment, we'll get you ready for Thursday Night Football. Giants at the Pats. Wow. Not quite Seattle Rams from a week ago, is it? But still, we got to do it a little justice. So we'll talk TB12 and Danny Dimes, and then we'll get you out to Minute Maid Park. 6:07 first pitch. You'll get about 7 minutes of Astro launch starting at 6 o'clock. So a brief timeout coming at you, and then we'll be back with more Bumper to Bumper Sports. Many of you like a good haunted house, but here's the thing. If you like a great one, we can hook you up. You can win VIP tickets to the 13th Gate, the ultimate haunted attraction in Baton Rouge. VIP means no waiting in line. You walk right in to the place where your worst nightmare comes to life. That's exactly what you want this October. So enter to win. It's free. Just go to the 103.7 The Game Clubhouse at 103.7thegame.com for your chance to win VIP tickets to the 13th Gate, the ultimate haunted attraction in Baton Rouge.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
And back out to the Taproom River Ranch. Typically, we reserve 6 to 6:30 on Thursdays to talk high school football with our next guest. The Strohs, well, they won't close out their darn series, so we got to make way for them here within the half hour. So we'll bump it up a little. Time to bring on to the Ardco Equipment Hotline, Blaine Viator, color analyst for Carrancro High Football on Z105.9 and just a prep football connoisseur. Brother, how the heck are you?
Not too bad. I wish I was over at the Taproom River Ranch with you, but I'm sitting outside right now enjoying this fantastic weather. Super excited about the huge ball games that we have looming over the weekend.
Let's get to three that people in Southwest Louisiana should be paying attention to. And we'll start with the game you and I will call on Z105.9. Carrancro at Turlings Catholic, a battle of 4-1 teams. A battle of teams that feel like they're vying for second in District 5-4A to St. Thomas More, and both have fairly impressive wins. Carrancro's gone on the road and won at Sam Houston. Turlings Catholic, what they did against Bro Bridge last week, I think opened some eyes. Handicap it for me.
Well, I think this is a totally different Turlings team than you saw a year ago, a much more physical bunch. What they've been able to do this year and transform, you really got to tip your cap to Dane Chaponche. Look, the last two matchups in this series, last year went to overtime with Carrancro winning, but the year before that in 17, Turlings went for two with less than 3 minutes left in the ballgame to win at home. So both of these games have been very close. But the story of this year for the Rebels, at least, has been Sammy LeBlanc being totally healthy, him getting comfortable in the offense, him being able to throw the ball around the yard. And look, they do a lot of quick passes out there, spread it back and get the football to their athletes in space. Coleman Bonds having an excellent year for the Rebels, but Noah Fondo, the tight end, if you find him, typically you'll find the football. They like to run behind him, use him as a motion man, almost as an extra lineman blocking, pulling around as almost like an extra guard. But he's a pass catcher, too. They get him the ball out in the flats, and he can make plays as well. When you look at the Carrancro team, look, this team's been so explosive. The last couple of weeks, they scored 71 points and over 60. So, I mean, they put up points in bunches, and they're led by the dynamic duo of Popcorn Prejean and Kendrell Williams. The two running backs combined for over 1,200 yards and 18 touchdowns on the season. Just a week ago in St. Martinville in that blowout, both of them had over 225 yards and multiple scores. Super talented backfield that could get it done quickly. I've never seen a Veer offense score so quick the way Carrancro's offense has been able to do so far this year. I think this is a game where Carrancro's offense is going to have to score. Turlings' offense is good enough to give Carrancro's defense fits. I think they're going to be able to put up points, but I think Carrancro will as well. This one's going to be a shootout on the north side of Lafayette tomorrow night, and I'm excited that you and I are going to have the call on Z105.9.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And, Blaine, we're going to transition into a District 3-5A game, and it kind of feels like a mirror image to Carrancro Turlings Catholic in the sense that those two, they're kind of expected to chase St. Thomas More. I believe Barb and Sam Houston are playing for second fiddle to Acadiana High, but this is a big ball game. The Bucks, the Broncos, they both can score the football in bunches. I know that one's going to be played in Lake Chuck, but it affects our local teams. How do you break it down?
Well, I think it affects them tremendously, especially with power points and everybody concentrating on that in the upcoming week. Look, STM has a big win over Barb, while Karen Crow, the big win over Sam Houston. They're both pulling for those teams respectively to help out with power rankings. This is going to be another shootout. This is going to be one game that the offenses dominate. Sam Houston, you and I saw them a few weeks ago and how good they were. Kyle Bartley, the Southeastern Lions baseball commitment, playing quarterback over there. They chunked the ball over the yard, and much like Sterling and Barb as well, they like to line up in that spread and get the football to the athletes out in space quickly. He has two wide receivers that are exceptional. Tavion Geis and Luke Luhaze, who's also a tremendous baseball player. He was in that starting rotation of a baseball team that played for a state championship this year. You and I saw him, and the young man goes about 6'3.5", 220 pounds, so big frame on him. He could probably have his pick if he wants to play college baseball or football at the next level. But Barb, they've been so good outside of that STM game. They like to throw it all over the field, and they're led by quarterback Davis Mesh, who could operate out of that spread, and he's a threat to run as well. Take away that STM game, they're averaging 35 points a ball game. I think the difference maker in this game, though, is running back Dylan Lewis for the Barb Bucks. He could give them enough to slow down the Sam Houston offense and keep them off the field. I think it's going to be a shootout, but I think Barb wins it late with that power running game kind of leading the way.
A trio of high school football games we had to preview on a Thursday. We got the man for the job, Blaine Viator, with us for another moment or two on 103.7 The Game. We'll dip down to Class 3A. Church Point versus Iota. You were big on the Bears last year. They started off like a team possessed. They started to whimper a little bit down the stretch. What do you like about them this year? And tell me about that matchup with Iota. Excuse me.
Well, both teams are just exceptional. Iota went undefeated a year ago, and they're every bit as good this year. I mean, they're outscoring opponents like 150 and something to 16. They haven't really played anybody yet, but they've dominated the competition. They led by Luke Duce, the running back. They're ranked in the top five in the state. We know how good they are. Church Point, though, I think they're poised for a late season run. Last year they got it done early in the season. This year I look for them to kind of bring it on later. Rodney Dupuy, the running back, he only needs about 150 yards to become the school's all-time leading rusher to beat out Troy Citizen. Look, this is a series that's been back and forth in 17. It was a game that was won 41-34 by Church Point last year. Iota was able to win that game 15-12. So two totally different style ball games. One of them a shootout a year ago, more of a defensive battle. I think this game's a closer to that game last year, a low-scoring battle with Iota possibly coming out on top. But don't sell Church Point short. They're 2-2 on the year, but their two losses are good losses. They lost to Notre Dame in week one, and then in week two they lost to a 5-8 Southside team that we know could throw the football over the yard. So I think this, the Church Point team is getting better as the year goes on, and they're going to compete tomorrow night against the Iota Bulldogs.
It's going to be fun. Not just these three games, but everything else that's coming our way. Week six of the high school football season, and everybody finally into district play. I'll give this brief tease, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too far. I want to save the analysis for next week when you're back here at the Taproom River Ranch, Blaine. Week 7 will bring us LCA at Notre Dame as a district ball game. That should be an awful lot of fun.
I'm super excited about that one. That's one of the games that whenever the schedule came out, you said, yeah, that's the one that you got to circle and be ready for. LCA so far, to me, they're passing the test. I mean, they battled against a very good Acadiana team, who's one of the best in the state. They went and beat Evangel last week at home, but that's still a good Evangel team that's up in classification. So I think LCA's poised. This is probably one of Louis Cook's better Notre Dame teams, though, so it could go either way. All I want to do is see more of Sage Ryan, though, Ben. You and I talked about him in the last few weeks about how good he is with the football in his hands. He's been dynamite on the defensive side of the ball as well, with a fumble return for a touchdown a week ago and returning another kick for a touchdown. So they call him three-face Sage, and rightfully so. The guy gets involved all over the football field. I just can't wait to see the fireworks that ball game's going to bring.
I'll be seeing you tomorrow at the home of the Turnlings Catholic Rebels. If you get there before me, save a little bit of food in the best press box in the area. If not, we're going to have some problems.
Best press box, best food in the area. I know Principal Boyer hooks it up. I can't wait till tomorrow night. I think it's going to be just a tremendous game. We're going to have this wonderful weather all weekend long. Look, man, Tigers, Gators, Astros trying to close it out with tons of high school football. Man, if you're living in South Louisiana, you live in life large this weekend.
There you go. He is Blaine Viator, good enough to join us remotely. That's okay. He's not at the Taproom River Ranch. We still got the same great high school football intel and passion. And I will say this, as we head into our final break of the program, yes, what Mike Boyer and Terlings Catholic have in that press box, that food, I mean, for my money, the stadium itself, it's phenomenal. But I will give a shout-out to David Lejeune and Acadiana High. They know what they're doing over there, too. And that's always one of the best eats that you'll get as a commentator in a press box. Just going to float that out there as well. All right, after this break, I want to get into the NFL. We'll talk Thursday Night Football and then maybe the biggest storyline from around the league this weekend. So a brief timeout, and then we'll be back one more time to the Taproom River Ranch with more Bumper to Bumper Sports.
You're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love. Missed an interview?
No!
Acadiana Sports Station has got you covered.
Explain how.
Just head over to 1037thegame.com and check out the on-demand section.
Woohoo!
Now back to Ben Love and Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
One final time into the Taproom River Ranch. Astros baseball. Oh so close. And I don't think oh so close to the end of the season. Not tonight. Got a good feeling about LSU hosting Florida. Got that same type of confidence, frankly. Astros, Rays. And depending on where you look, with Garrett Cole on the mound, Stroh's going off as about a minus 250, minus 270 style of favorite. The guy may well win the AL Cy Young. You should feel good about having him on the bump. And you have to secure this game. There's no future without it. As I've been contending now for the better part of, I don't know, 36 hours, my problem is what comes next. And the Astros, I mean, these cats are on the cover of Sports Illustrated with Verlander, Cole, Greinke, talking about one of the best built-for-the-playoffs rotations that the free world and universe have ever seen. And I'm just kind of upset because I don't think you're going to get to see them at their full exposure. I don't think you're going to get to see them at their deadliest, assuming the Stros win tonight against the Yankees. And the way the series lines up, it'll be this Saturday, this Sunday, games 1 and 2 of the ALCS. Again, with the Stros win tonight, those two games will be at Minute Maid Park. And I have to imagine that it'll be Greinke in game one. His career pedigree should tell you he's fine in that spot. But he got crushed earlier this week at the Trop, taking on the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, walloped. And so if it's Greinke, and again, nobody's come out and said this because Hinch and company cannot look forward ahead of the series at hand. I get that. But if it's, hypothetically, Greinke in game one, probably some semblance of Urquidy, maybe Miley, and then the bullpen in game two, that's how you're going to come out firing in the ALCS against arguably the game's most potent offense? Boy, that doesn't inspire confidence. And if the model for the modern era of how you use your starting pitchers is Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson for the Diamondbacks, where those guys could pitch four, and depending on how you use them, maybe five games in a seven-game series, four, maybe five, the Stros legitimately, because of how the last few nights have shaken out, A.J. Hinch and company, they may get to throw Cole and Verlander in games 3 and 4, and that's it. So instead of four, maybe five starts from your aces and the AL Cy Young frontrunners, you may get two. It just makes me a little sick, to be honest, because this thing was set up beautifully, but best laid plans, right? All you can do tonight is win and advance. But I just don't have a great feeling, not like I did, about the ALCS. I'm sure we'll talk more about that beginning tomorrow, and especially with Monday's show, assuming the Stros can get that W tonight. Again, you'll hear every bit of it on Acadiana Sports Station, 6:07, first pitch from Houston. And that does mean you won't listen to Giants Patriots on our station tonight. Many of you will live. It's a 17-point spread in favor of the Patriots. That is astounding. Danny Dimes and only his third start. For the Giants, 2-3 on the year, going up against one of the two undefeated teams left in the National Football League. The Patriots, 5-0, Tom Brady and company in Foxborough. It's about as different as you can get, really, when you look at these two quarterbacks. And there will be some injuries. Rex Burkhead not expected to play. So, yeah, go ahead and shove James White into your fantasy flex spot, maybe your RB2, depending on if it's a PPR league, and feel good about that. Julian Edelman, questionable with the chest injury. Josh Gordon, questionable with the knee injury. And so we'll see how much they're able to go. But we do know that Philip Dorsett is out at wide receiver. So, again, plan your fantasy accordingly. But this is a bad game and what otherwise has a chance to be kind of a fair to middling weekend in the NFL. I do believe that one of the best games pits two AFC playoff contenders against one another. Texans at the Chiefs. It's a noon game on Sunday. Also, speaking of the fantasy front, don't forget, Panthers-Bucks from London is an 8:30 Central Time start. But if we're looking for the best and brightest games in the league, Texans at Chiefs is awfully nice. I think Lions and Packers, Monday Night Football, should be a lot of fun. Lions underrated this year in that NFC Norris division. But certainly I would think the game of the NFL Week 6 slate, 49ers at the Rams, and the undefeated San Francisco 49ers going on the road as 3.5-point dogs at the L.A. Rams. And so this one, it's for supremacy in the NFC West, but we can't forget about the Seahawks. It's also about the form and the future this year for the Rams. Sean McVay's team suddenly has lost two in a row. If they find themselves at 3-3, we're going to start having a very different conversation about the NFC this year. Saints win at the Jags. 49ers win at the Rams. I know, those are two road dogs. But if they pull that off, wow. I think suddenly at that point, we're talking about Saints, 49ers, and then probably the Seahawks as the class of the NFC. Not the Rams, not the Cowboys, and maybe not even the Packers, depending on how their matchup, as I mentioned, on Monday night goes with the upstart Detroit Football Lions. And so Week 6, not as much star power as Week 5. I dubbed last weekend the separation weekend within the NFC. This one will have some of that, just maybe not quite to the same extent. So a big weekend in football. It's on tap as we're finishing up our program from the Tap Room River Ranch. High school football in full force. Tomorrow night we'll have plenty of games on our Delta Media family of stations. We'll even preview all of them for you. We're nice like that. We'll have football night in Acadiana pregame style from 6 to 6:30. RP3 will join me for that half hour. And then after STM Westgate, Clint Domain, the famous Clint D, we'll bring you home into your late Friday night with the FNA, Football Night in Acadiana postgame show. So a lot of football. Of course, we'll have LSU Florida Saturday night on Acadiana Sports Station. We'll have a triple header of NFL games on Sunday, unless the Astros poke their head in. So we'll have to see what their schedule looks like there. But that was my segue. A lot of football coming, but there's baseball immediately on the horizon. So excited about Astros, Rays. Remember, Clint and I are going to throw you to the end of our program within about 1 minute, and then we'll send you out to Houston, Steve Sparks, Robert Ford, and a little bit of Astro launch before a 6:07 first pitch. Got to salute our guest today. We squeezed in three great ones in 2 short hours. Danny Jones, all things Red River Shootout, a Texas-Oklahoma preview, plus a little STM Catholic Baton Rouge post-op. Great time. Spending time with Danny Jones in our 4 o'clock hour. Earlier this hour, Gordy Rush, LSU football sideline reporter, and Blaine Viator all in on high school football. And so enjoy the baseball tonight. Tomorrow, B2BS begins at 4. Justin Vincent, he's already booked, as he is every week. He's got reservations for 5 p.m. Knock on wood, cross your fingers. Working on Jacob Hester as well. Mr. LSU Florida, Mr. Fourth Down. And then maybe we'll find a couple of other former LSU running backs. Who knows? Don't know if we'll have enough time. For the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love. Enjoy your Astros baseball. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.